Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Verses 30 to 44.
Etadrupam bhagavato hyarupasya chiratmana maya gunai virachitam mahadadhibiratmani.
Translation. Conception of the Virat, universal form of the Lord, as appearing in the material world, is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form.
Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langayate girim yakipam tamham bande shi gurum minatayanam omagyana timranasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuramiritam yena tasma shi gurave namaha.
We heard the list of incarnations of Lord Krishna, and you saw the picture yesterday. So, of course, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So, therefore, Krishna, as you see here, has his own section. Krishna is in a category all by himself up there in the left-hand corner. That is Krishna's category. He has his own section in this chapter. Verse 28, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. We don't put him with any of the other incarnations. He's all by himself. So then today we will finish the chapter. We will see here the second section. We'll be dealing with the Vishwarupa and who can understand the form of the Lord and who cannot understand the form of the Lord. And also about the Lord's energies. We're going to hear a very nice description of Krishna's energies. And then the end of the chapter, we'll be hearing about the incarnation of Krishna, which we are now presently worshipping, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll finish the chapter answering the last question of the sages. So here in this verse, Vishwarupa. This form is very much loved by the impersonalists. It is very good for them to worship or to meditate on Vishwarupa because by such a meditation, they can get out of their impersonal conception and they can gradually progress to a personal conception of the Lord. So that's the whole purpose of the Vishwarupa meditation. It is for the neophytes who have no conception of the form of the Lord. Prabhupada in a lecture explained that this Vishwarupa is actually the external body of Krishna. And we see that when Krishna left this universe, he left behind a material body, and that body is the Vishwarupa, because that wouldn't go with him to the spiritual world. The Vishwarupa stays here in the material world. Of course, it's also to delude the atheists that he performed that pastime. So Prabhupada explained that just like we, our soul within this body, we have a covering. So the same way the Vishwarupa is the covering for the Paramatma, for the soul of the universe. The Vishwarupa is his body. Actually, it says that in the purport in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, first chapter, says that the material creation is the external body of the Lord. So this is what we are studying now in a little bit more detail. So Prabhupada also explained, just like our heart is beating and the blood is flowing and our digestion is working, so in the Vishwarupa, the sun is rising, the eyes are opening, the sun is rising in the Vishwarupa, and the veins, the rivers are flowing, and the trees are growing, the hairs on the body. So it's just like his body. But within, of course, there is the soul of the universe is Paramatma and ultimately Lord Krishna. Now, there's a very nice explanation. If we go back to the third verse of this chapter in the purport, Prabhupada gives a nice explanation of the Vishwarupa. This is, I don't know if you have the same pages as I do, but it's page 146 in my book. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada says, as stated above, the Lord extends his potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord himself personally are one in one sense. But at the same time, the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of the Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalists, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. So my question to you is, how is it one? How is the Vishrupa one with the Lord? This material body? How can it be? How can we understand that this Vishrupa is one with the Lord? Yes. Okay, it's non-different from his energy. Yeah, Sankirtan.
There is no...
Right.
Our experience.
Yes.
Our
right. So that's a further explanation of what you said. That for him, there's no material energy, actually. So therefore, it's one. There's no question of material energy. Material energy means something that is covering the Lord. So it cannot cover him. He cannot be covered from himself. But for us, there is material energy. Our vision is covered. He is covering himself from our vision. Yes. That's very good. And how is it different from Krishna? Now we know how it's one. How is it different? Lila Madhuri. Because he is beyond. He's not limited to a particular form. Amarangopa? It's a temporary manifestation. Good. Bhakti and Bhatina, you had something? Same thing, okay, temporary, yes. Vanamali. It's not in the spiritual world, yes. Good. Madhavendrapuri.
How is it, you know,
9-4?
9-4.
Vyaktamurtina. Okay, good. I'm not in them. Okay, Adipurusha. It's imaginary. Oh, this is a very difficult question. How is it imaginary? This question always comes up. But we will read on before we answer this question. Yes. It's not his original form. Well, there are many forms which are not original, but they're still like Vishnu. And they're not temporary also. They're eternal. Okay, let's read on. And I think we'll find some more clues in this purport, actually. Srila Prabhupada explains this point on imaginary. How it is imaginary. This is the end of the purport. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his factual forms. As Paramatma or Supersoul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms, but the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. So not only is Vishwarupa imaginary, our bodies are also imaginary. So there. Everything's, anyway. But we won't take this further. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original spiritual bodies. And although it wasn't imaginary, Arjuna saw it. Arjuna saw this imaginary form of Vishwarupa, of Lord Krishna. So we'll read on some more conceptions. Yatha nabasime kaugo renuva pativo nile evam dashti drishtyadvam aropitam abhudibi. Clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. Ata param yad avyaktam avyudha guna bringhitam adishta shuta vastutvat sajivo yat punabhava. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. So there's a conception of the gross form, and there's a conception of the subtle form. Here we can see in this picture the blank petal. This is the conception of the subtle form here. There should be form, but actually it's subtle. But it's unheard, it's unseen, unheard and unmanifest. So this is the impersonalists, they conceive of this subtle form. But actually there is a form, but they just can't see it. So subtle form. This is their conception. Unseen, unheard, unmanifest. So this is either they like to meditate on the gross form of the Vishrupa, or they like to meditate on the subtle form, which they conceive as being without form. So then verse 33.
Yate me sarasadrupe pati sute sasangvida vidyayatmani kite iti tad brahmadarshanam.
Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. So Prabhupada in the purport, second half of paragraph 2, he explains Jivan Mukta. A man who is engaged in activities of the self is called Jivan Mukta, or liberated person, even in the conditional existence. And by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord, by his causeless mercy, removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self, he engages in devotional service. So Prabhupada, at the end of this purport, says, all this is executed by the Lord, either through his external potency or directly by the internal potency. A very interesting statement. And this will be explained much more elaborately in the next verse in purport. Verse 34.
Yat yesho parata devi maya vaisharadi mati sampanae veti vidur mahim nisve mahiyate.
If the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. Now, this purport is very, very interesting. In the second sentence, Srila Prabhupada says, the same energy acts as his external, internal and marginal energies, and by his omnipotency he can perform anything and everything through the agency of any of the above three energies. Interesting. He can interchange external, internal, and marginal. Usually we hear internal, external, but we never heard marginal before. So watch out. He can, yes, marginal, internal, external, and marginal. He can use for any purpose. He can turn the external energy into internal by his will. Now this sentence is we're going to study this next one. Therefore, by his grace, the external energy which is employed in illusioning those living beings who want to have it subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance. It's a very interesting statement by Srila Prabhupada. The external energy subsides in terms of repentance and penance. So what does this mean? The external energy subsides. Yes, very puzzling statement by Srila Prabhupada. What does this actually mean, Adi Purusha?
Should this mean that if we use both,
yes,
then
change it? Okay, if we use the material energy for spiritual purpose and for penance and repentance, then it changes its nature. Okay, very nice. Nishinanda? Right. Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. You may fall down as a devotee, but then if you feel repentance, then that can help you advance in spiritual life. Yeah, so Sankirtan does. 15:15.
Yeah.
Chavasuchaham. Good. Gyanam. Yes. So the super soul is covering, and his same energy he can give knowledge. Yes. Yes. If you repent, if the conditions are fulfilled. It's interesting, Sri Vrindavan. 7:14, Bhagavad Gita. Davi Heshgunamai. Yes. This energy is divine. Yes. How can this be? Yes. Right. Right. So Krishna orders, you must release this living entity if you surrender to Krishna. Yes. Yogamaya Samavrita. That's 7:20. I'm covered. Yes. Yogamaya. Yes. I'm covered by my Yogamaya. My spiritual energy is covering me. Of course, for him it's spiritual. Yes. Yes. Those who want to have it.
So, but my
Yeah. I want Krishna. Okay, he repents that so long I served Maya, and then by penance in service of Krishna, he shows that he's serious. Yeah, I had an idea also about this, that you come to a certain point in your devotional service. You come to a certain point in your devotional service where somewhere along the line from Shada to Prema, along there comes a point where you start repenting and you start feeling sorry for the things you did and even why I came in this world. And you know, just comes a certain point where that consciousness comes upon you. And when you see yourself feeling like this, then you can understand that Krishna is removing the external energy, that the material energy is subsiding. So it gives great hope. If you actually begin to develop this mentality that yes, you know, why have I done this? And actually it's very good if you repent, because if you repent, you won't do it again. Repentance means that you're genuinely sorry and you won't do it again. Just like Parikshit, when he heard the curse, when he heard about the curse, he said, Sadhu Mene, this is very good. This is nice. Now I won't make this mistake again that I offended the sage. I won't do this again. This is good for me. He was repenting. He said, why did I make this offense to this devotee? Now I got my just reward. And so this repentance is good. Madhavan Puri.
Can we say that repentance burns away the reactions?
Did you read that from the purport?
No, I'm just asking.
Sounds like the purport to the Parikshit. Yes.
Is it?
Yes. I think Prabhupada says that himself.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says in the purport about Parikshit, such repentance delivers a devotee from all kinds of sins accidentally committed. And actually, Satsuma Maharaj commented that this repentance burns away sin, just like you said. Yeah. Okay, last one. Darshan, you didn't speak yet. Third canto. Movements of a living entity. Yes, he's protected. Right, so there is repentance when you're in the womb of the mother. He's repenting, oh, why didn't I serve you before? As soon as I get out, I'm going to be your devotee. And as soon as he gets out, he forgets. He's influenced. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is, here it talks about using material and spiritual energy interchangeably. There is an example in Bhagavatam where the material energy acted as spiritual energy. They both acted at the same time in a situation. Does anybody recall that situation? It's in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. Something was happening to one great devotee, and he could see the material energy acting and the spiritual energy acting at the same time. And his name is, yes? No, not Prahlad. Yeah, I heard it over here. Vidura. Yeah, what did you say? Yesterday. Anyway, Vidura. It was Vidura when he was kicked out of the... Well, when he was insulted by Duryodhan. And then he felt the insult piercing his heart. And then he left. He left the palace. Prabhupada said that he could see Duryodhan was under the influence of the external energy. He was going to hell. But he saw, in the same way he saw the internal energy was working for him. Because he never liked the palace. He always was thinking, when am I going to get away from this politics and this management? When am I going to actually be able to devote myself to Krishna? So then when this happened, then he was so happy. Prabhupada said within, he was thanking Duryodhan. You've done it very nice for him. This is internal. So internal energy was acting on Vidura. It was acting as external on Duryodhan. One was being elevated, one was being degraded at the same energy. The same energy was working. So Vidura was very happy because he felt obligated to his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, I have to stay here, I have to preach to him, I have to help him. But finally, when they completely insulted him like that, he said, okay, my obligation's finished. I'm leaving. My life is for Krishna. So he left. And this is an example of external and internal energy working at the same time. So let's go on. Oh, there's a very beautiful comment here by Satsri Maharaj. I'll just read it to you. This proves not only Krishna changes the energies from material to spiritual, the devotee has that power also simply by his attitude. It's a very nice comment. simply by your the devotee, by his attitude, can change material to spiritual. You just have to have a different vision. You have to see things in a different level of observation, a different vision. So hopefully Bhagavatam will give us this vision.
Evam chamani karmani yakatara janasya cha vanayanti sukhavaya veda guhyani hritpate.
Thus learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the heart. So here this one sentence has contradictions in it. The births of the unborn, activities of the inactive. So we won't go into that right now, but Queen Kunti will get into that. In those verses, we'll hear about that.
Sava idam visvamamo kalila si satyavatyatina sajatesmin uteshi chantahita atmatantra sadhavargikam chekarti sadganesha.
The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Verse 37. I noticed a progression here. 34 talks about his energy, 35 about Paramatma, and 36 about Bhagavan. He's noticed that. So, verse 37.
Chas shikashin nipunena tatur avaiti jantu kumanisha uti. Namani rupani manovachopi santan vato natacharyang ivagya.
The foolish, with a poor fund of knowledge, cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words.
Savedatatu paravim parasya taranta viryasya ratangapane yomayaya santatayanu vitya bajeta tadparasaro chagantam.
Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of a chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. So now we have another word added here to pure devotional service. Unreserved, that's causeless, uninterrupted, we had, and favorable. It must be favorable also. Who is this? Who is this Lord who has the wheel of a chariot in his hand? Who is this? Krishna? Which Krishna?
Vasudev.
Parthasarathi, yes, Parthasarathi. You can meet him in Delhi. It's interesting. Radha Parthasarathi in Delhi temple. So Radha Parthasarathi, if you want to see this person, carries the wheel of a chariot in his hand. And Prabhupada says, this is the end of the purport. Favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees toward the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord and spontaneous affection. Which verse is that in Bhagavad Gita? The Lord guides the devotees. Tesham satatayuktanam vajatam pritipurvakam. Yes. Furtive activities and speculation are no qualifications for entering. So it seems really hopeless for these poor karmis and ganis. They're in the darkness. What can we do for them? What is the hope for the karmis and ganis? How can they get out of the darkness? What is their hope? No hope? Hopeless? Pemniti? What? Give him prasadam. Okay. He's being very specific here. Yes, Sankirtan. Good. So we're opening centers all over the world to give people opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. This is Prabhupada's blessing. So even if they remain in the dark, the devotees will go in the dark and take the message to them. Take them out of the dark. So there is hope, even though they cannot understand Krishna in their present position.
Atehatanya bhagavantamitam yadvasa deve kila lokanate karvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam nayatyabhuya parivart upra.
Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant? For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes, and guarantee 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. So we heard now Sutta is coming to his conclusion, and he's referring back again to the beginning where the sages, they ask such nice questions. And he's also referring to that verse, Jivasya Tapha Jigyasa. That time it said that you should only desire a healthy life so that you can ask questions. So now he's giving us the actual, what's going to happen if you ask questions like that? If you actually devote your human form of life to inquiring, to searching after the absolute truth, you will develop ecstatic love for Krishna. So this is so wonderful. What a wonderful thing to happen if you simply devote your life, jivasya tatva jigyasya, to asking questions about the absolute truth. So this is another hidden benediction here by Sutta Goswami. And he's also benedicting the sages at this time. Verse 40, now we'll hear about our incarnation, Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam nama puranam brahma samitam uttama shloka charitam chikara bhagavan ishi nishayasaya lokasya dhanyam sasya yanam tahat. Mahat, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. So where did we hear about this ultimate good of all people? Does that sound familiar? Vishaka? Savaipungsam Parotarmo. And before that? Sage's question. What is the ultimate good? Ekantata Shreya. So here again we have Nishreya Saya Lokasya. This is the ultimate good of all people. Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimate good for all people. So we will go on and finish. Tadidam Grahyam Asa Suttamatma Vatam Varam Sarva Vede Tihasanam Saram Saram Samotitam. Shri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. Satushang Shavayamasa Maharajam Parikshitam Prayopavishtam Gangayam Paritam Paramarshibi. Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganga, awaiting death without taking food or drink. And now the answer to the sage's last question. Krishne swadhamo pagate dharma gyanatibhi saha kalona stadishamesha puranar kotano ditaha. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So Prabhupada, in paragraph 1, he describes the condition of the living entities in this age. Prabhupada says, in very heavy words, in the Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal edition of the animals. There was a book written about, it's called Animal Farm. Before I was a devotee, I read it. So how everybody's different types of animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind, they cannot see anything beyond the jurisdiction of the subtle mind, intelligence, or ego. They are very proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. They can risk their lives to become a dog or hog just after leaving present body, for they have completely lost sight of the ultimate aim of life. What's an example of someone risking their life to become a dog or a hog in their next life? Some dangerous occupation. Going to the moon, yes, in the Shingnanda. Oh, yes, yes. One politician in India, he risked his life for India and became one of two dogs. Yes, Nishinanda. Indra became a hog. Yes. Okay, so these are the examples, even from scripture. Personality of Godhead Krishna appeared before us, just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga. He returned to his eternal home practically at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretentious principles of religiosity, just like this Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Shri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita's preliminary study of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is summum bonum of life, Lord Shri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see Lord Krishna in person. They are identical. So I have a picture here. These pictures fell out of my book, so I can show them to you easily. Now, there's one picture I want to show you. This is actually a very old book. I think it's 1972. So this is one of the original pictures. Here you have Srila Vyasadeva. He's standing up like on top of the sky, and he's holding Srimad Bhagavatam. And from Srimad Bhagavatam, so much light is coming. And everybody else is down in the dense darkness, and they're doing all kind of nonsense things. And a few are just kind of starting to look up towards the light. So here we are. We are in this darkness of Kali Yuga, and we're trying to look up towards the light, Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is actually what's happening in this class, that we are trying to see the light. And then the last verse has also a very wonderful purport in this verse. It tells how you can hear with rapt attention. Tattakirtayato vipra viparshya burite jasa ham chadikamam tata nivistas taranugahat soham vashavishyami yataditam yatamati. O learned Brahmanas, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, and thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. So this purport is very, very nice. Prabhupada says at the beginning, one can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Shri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a self-realized great soul like Shukadeva Goswami. And later on he says, simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word nivishta means Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. Where did we hear this before? Nivishtas. Something like that. Not nivishtas, but another word meaning the same thing. That Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Yes, same thing. Prabhupada says, that is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. It's not simply studying, but it's drinking. We have to drink Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. Divyambar, can you turn this? The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, hearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So it's a very difficult process, it seems. You have to have purity of mind, purity of action, purity eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But then there's Prabhupada puts in a mercy clause here. Somehow or other, even if you don't have all these other qualifications, somehow or other, if you hear with rapid attention, so what does this mean? Somehow or other. Does it mean some days, one day you're going to get it and one day you're not? What is this somehow or other? Shri Vrindavan? My good fortune. Pure devotee. Jadabharat. Rahugana. Somehow or other they met. And he heard, yes, anybody else? Yeah, Vanamali. Thief heard Bhagavatam, Madan Gopa. By any means, beg, borrow, or steal. Yes. What's that? By mercy. Somehow or other, by mercy. Sankirtanas. Okay, someone may not be pure, but he may be very desperate to hear. Very repentant, Maharaj. Yes. Okay, in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, verse 26. Even if you can't do Gyan, Karma, Yoga. Yes. Yeah, if you can't do anything else, if you can just hear. In this age of Kali, Vishakha. Yes, that's also a good point. You can't hear if your mind is always disturbed by these things. If you have sense gratification, these things. But the point is that you may be disturbed, but if you can somehow get the mercy of or association of the pure devotee, then you can. They can lift you beyond that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I got the mercy. No problem. I don't have to do anything. Just come in here. Yeah. Nishingananda. Okay. Yes. Even if we have these disqualifications, we can agree to hear, and that's what's in the purport in the second verse, right? Prabhupada says, if you simply agree to hear, then you will also get the benefit. Yeah, synchronous. Oh, yes. Yeah, in the purport. Yes. Yeah, Prabhupada said, you can be Krishna conscious after millions of births, or you can be Krishna conscious in 1 second. It's a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. That's in chapter 2, Vishakha. Yeah, if you accept. Yes. Yes. You have to become pure in your habits if you agree to hear also. Person who's too disturbed, he won't be able to hear. Nishingananda. Essence of sinful activities. Meat eating, lust, sex, intoxication, gambling.
And if one follows them, avoids them.
One avoids them. Okay, if one avoids the four things that are prohibited, then you become sinless. If you follow the four regulative principles, in other words. Yes. Right. 15 years. Acha. Just at one second's association, 1 minute's association with a pure devotee. Shri Vrindavan. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's the fact that we had Guru Nishtha, that we had such a firm faith in Guru, that couldn't be shaken. You know, we didn't have Nishtha so much in Krishna and all these things, but in Prabhupada we had that Nishtha on that level. It was on that level. So, like, we would do anything, you know? Maharaj.
I personally, in Bombay, I was selling seasonal.
Another one.
I
took the whole set. Okay.
just by remembering Preston, took the whole set. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the power. Yes. You don't forget when you meet Prabhupada. You don't forget it. You can't forget. Memory series. A boxer. A carpet layer.
Well.
Bhakta Arthur.
he had to look away from Bhagavatam. Yeah. Like that. He said later that he felt impregnated by plans to dedicate his life to
Actually, I was watching another memory, and the same kind of thing. There was this. It was my godbrother Narayana Rishi, and he said he had this mystic power that he could look at somebody, and they would have to turn around and look at him. So he was out in I think in some place, San Francisco or somewhere. They were having kirtan, And there's Prabhupada and the devotees, and he was trying it out on different people, and sure enough, they would turn around and look at him. Then he started trying it on Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't turn around. And he kept trying and trying, and finally he was sweating, and he was really getting upset. Then finally he said, okay, anyway, if he looks, then Prabhupada looked at him. And then he was, you know, the same thing happened. He was just like completely finished. And in his heart he said, oh, I'm not ready to surrender this person yet. He said, I'm not ready. And then he went away, and then later, of course, he came back. But in his heart he understood, no, I have to surrender to this person. He found his match. Yeah, compassionate, grave, piercing, and there's, it's like you have no place to hide. You know, nothing, everything is there. Your whole millions of births is revealed. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this is the factor, the somehow or other factor, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that somehow or other we're still here after so many years. We're still listening, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We're still sticking to it by his mercy. So we should learn the lessons that Prabhupada is teaching us here in these purports, that we should feel repentance, then we can get his mercy. And we should try to give all our energy to hearing, because we're in the darkness of Kali. Of course, we're fortunate we're in Vrindavan. It may not be so dark. It may not seem so dark. Everybody is devotee here. But if we look in our hearts, at least myself, it's full of darkness. So our only hope is to hear Prabhupada, to hear this Bhagavatam. And hopefully then there will some light. Krishna will switch on the light and we'll see ourselves. So we can stop here. We can continue our discussion. Actually, it was a very nice discussion. One thing, though, I'll just show you. You can take this off. Oh, no. Flip it to the next one. I did have a little bit here on the themes, just very small one. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Verse 28, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. And then verses 40 to 44, in Krishna's absence, Bhagavatam is the incarnation. And so that's all I had for this chapter. You could probably find more, but I thought this was the essence of this chapter. Are there any questions or further comments? Adi Purusha? Yes, sleeping and fearing. Purity and sleeping. I had a godbrother who is no longer with us. His name was Vishujan Maharaj. And he had a practice, he had a habit of before doing any action in his life, he would first consult, okay, is this the order of Srila Prabhupada? So he'd get up in the morning and he said, okay, now what I have to do, I brush my teeth. Is this the order of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, okay, go have a shower, brush your teeth. Then next, okay, Mangalarti, yes. Is this the order of Srila Prabhupada? Yes. So everything he would do, even before he ate, he would say, okay, is this the order? Yes. He said, I should have half full of my stomach with food, one quarter with water, and one quarter with air. So that way he was going through his life. Then time to sleep. He said, okay, is this the order of Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. He said in Bhagavad Gita, 6 hours. Okay, 6 hours, I sleep. And so whatever you're doing, again, we go back to this verse, jivasya tatva jigyasya, that we keep our health, we do our sleeping, simply so we can maintain our body, so we can have a good brain and physical capacity, so the whole day we can serve Krishna. And then that is purity and sleeping. We cannot control our dreams, but of course we can by reading Krishna book. Prabhupada said, read Krishna book before you sleep. Brihad Madanga Prabhu. What's that? One has to wake up. Yeah. Yes, one has to wake up. Oh, takes rest. One takes rest to wake up to see Krishna. How is it so? Yes, read Krishna book before you rest. Then you will dream Krishna. You will dream about Krishna. Darshan? December marathon. Yes. You preach in your sleep. Yes. So this is sleeping for Krishna. Yes, it's a very interesting question. I'm sure a lot of devotees would like to know how to do this, how to sleep for Krishna. How to sleep. And we can discuss the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Also, there's a verse, you should be regulated in four things, eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. So, yes. 14th chapter. Yeah, mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so mode of goodness, cultivating the mode of goodness. Brihat Prabhu, and then next is Avadhuta Brihat, yeah. Fearing. How can you be pure in fearing? Mm-hmm. Devaki was always in fear, right. Yeah, she was afraid that Kamsa would kill her children, next child. Healthy fear of Maya. Okay? Right, commentaries. Yes. Healthy fear not to lose Krishna. Okay, if you have a healthy fear not to lose Krishna, you'll have a healthy fear not to be in Maya. If you study the prayers of the pure devotees, what do they pray? That I won't forget you. That I won't forget you in my next birth. That I'll be in the association of devotees. This is their fear, that they'll forget Krishna. Even Srila Prabhupada, he prayed, may I not forget you. May you always remind me to chant Hare Krishna. He said, that's how we should pray. Vishakha. Oh, and then, no, next is Avadhuta Priya. Okay? Okay, a comment. When you're sleeping in Gora Mandala Bhumi, you're paying dandavats. So that's how you can have purity in sleeping. Move to Mayapur. And that's the mercy is flowing there. Here, Krishna is not so merciful. Okay, question. Gross and subtle body. As a spirit soul, can't take it with you. No. So the question is that when you go back to Godhead, you take your subtle body with you or not? And the answer is no. We will find this in Second Canto, that you cannot take it with you. Yeah. Dissolves. Yeah, so even before you go back to Godhead, you may lose it if you become Jivan Mukta. Yes, what's your name? Amalagora. Even in the Brahma Jyoti, you can't take it with you. Yes. There's no senses, there's no mind, there's no sankirtanas. What is this? Yeah, that's a very interesting concept. No, it's not the soul. It's not the soul. It's the concept of it's the impersonal conception. Yeah. Subtle is also there. And this will actually be discussed more elaborately in the second canto. This will also come up there. It will say you have the gross, you have the subtle, but the devotees are beyond these two. There's the gross conception, the subtle. There's the there's different kinds of impersonalists. There's those who, according to Bhagavad Gita, kat tvena pritak tvena and bahudha vishtomakam. So those, some worship the universal form, some worship the unmanifest, the one, and some worship the many, the demigods, different panchapasana. So there is a subtle conception of the impersonalists, which is not, I mean, they, of course, they have a conception of spiritual, but there's also a subtle conception material. So this is, we don't hear about it so much, but it's just here in this verse. Again, we'll find it in Second Canto in the description of the universal form. Yeah, but it does say form, Prabhupada does say form with it, subtle form. And so there is a form. Form, yes. There is a subtle form. So exactly what that form is, I can't say right now, but we'll have to go to the second canto and we'll see if we can learn more. Yes, Vanamali. So, okay. My intelligence. Okay, we're going back to the question. Yeah. Spiritual. Right. Actually, this subtle is a covering. It's just like we have, a shirt. In the cold season, we wear an outer coat or a chadar. And then we have our regular clothes. So the outer one is our gross body. The inner one is our subtle body. Oh, it's a covering, and it's not necessary for the soul. It's superfluous. It's not necessary. Brihat Prabhu. Yes, yes. 2 pieces of wood. You apply super glue. Right. They look like they're one piece. They're glued together. Right, you cannot see the glue. Okay, through the process of devotional service. Okay, it's a subtle process that makes the glue, which cannot be seen, dissolve. Okay, the mentality of thinking, I am the body. Okay. Good. So it's just like, it becomes like the coconut that's separated from the inside is separated from the outside shell. Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't feel it, he's separated. He doesn't even know he's in a material body because he's separated. Okay, so the subtle body is simply the mentality of thinking that you're this body, thinking you're the enjoyer, thinking you're the controller. And when this is gone, then you have no connection with the gross body in the same way. It's not your... Just like in fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, within, he's doing all these things, eating, sleeping, all these things, but he knows he's not doing. He's different. Okay. Yes. Speak up. Krishna created the gross and subtle elements. How they are not existing. Who said? They're existing, but you're not affected by them, he said. He didn't say they're not existing. He said they're existing. Okay, Darshan? Oh, Maharaj next.
This one could be chapter 2. One could be compared to second.
Yeah, it's a purport, and it's verse 70 or 71 around there. Verse 70, 71. Purport. It's not the verse. Okay, Darshan. Jivan Mukta. At what level of Shraddha Prema are you Jivan Mukta? Is that your question? That's your question. At what level? Well, it's beyond Anartha Nivritti. That much we know. Because after Anartha Nivritti, then you come to the mode of goodness. And then after the mode of goodness, you come to Shuddha Sattva. So at Shuddha Sattva, then you're Jivan Mukta. Now, whatever level that is, do we have a relationship in nectar of devotion? The Shuddha Sattva? Bhava. At the level of Bhava, then you're Jivan Mukta. Do you agree or disagree? Yes. Right, not for the impersonal. Well, he doesn't come to Bhava. Yeah. Yeah, he can be Jivan Mukta in a different way. Our Jivan Mukta is Bhava. And his Jivan Mukta is merging. Okay. Any other questions? Mahavindapuri. 255. Okay, verse 255 is description of Jivan Mukta. Impersonalist or personalist. Yeah, and the devotee would be 1854. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Ashochitina Kanshti. Sama Saveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Abhate Param. He's at this point, your pure devotional service begins. 72? Okay. I knew it was back there somewhere. Verse 72 it is. Huh? The very beginning. Yeah, it's a wonderful statement by Srila Prabhupada that gives great hope to anybody. That 272. 272.
When can attain Krishna understanding
and accepting the fact. Yeah. Okay. Kadvanga Maharaj did it in a second, in a minute. But we are not so fortunate. We have to struggle. Through an artha nirvritti.
Maybe it's because standing and accepting.
Yes, we must not be accepting the fact. Causeless unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. Causeless unwillingness. This is our problem. Causeless. For no reason, we're stubborn.
We're stubborn.
Just like a teenager. Yes. We are stubborn. We will stay here and suffer independently. Yes. Shivindavan. Clarification on? Vishrupa. Okay. How is it imaginary, but it manifests? Yeah, it benefits the neophytes. How wonderful is Krishna? Even though he has an imaginary form, and they just imagine, the impersonalists imagine this form, still, they make progress. How can we understand? Yes. 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 55. But also, another point is this, that when you start, I think it's third canto, maybe second canto, that Lord Brahma, I think it's second canto. Well, right in the beginning of the second chapter, right after we hear the description of the Vishwarupa in the first chapter, second canto, then the first verse says that Lord Brahma, he meditated on this form and he understood how to create the universe. Before he didn't know, but when he meditated on Vishwarupa, when he meditated on this form, he could understand, okay, this goes here, this goes there. He could understand where everything goes and how it works, and how it fits in. So it's not so imaginary. It's there. In one sense, it's there. Blueprint for the universe. Vishwarupa. Yes, Darshan. Yeah, everything was there. But he didn't know how to put it together. You know, you have to have the plan.
All the ingredients were there.
Yeah, all the ingredients were there, and the people, the souls were there, all the seeds were there, all the planets, everything in his lotus flower, yeah. But he didn't know how to do it. You know, you may have all the bricks and the sand and everything, but you know, how you're going to put it together, make a house. You have to have the blueprint. And so therefore, that's the universal form. That's how to put it together. Because Brahma, he was just the engineer. Prabhupada said he was the engineer of the construction. And so for the construction, you need the blueprint. And the blueprint is the universal form. And he was also, another place, Brahma is described as the gardener. He has the seeds, and he simply waters the seeds. But he has to know where to plant them also, in different soils or different places. Darshan, finally. Ancient cultures. Oh, where you're from Central America? Okay. Pantheism. Viratrupa, or it could be also demigods. Oh, pantheism is actually Viratrupa, yes. It's Viratrupa, yes, you're right. Yeah, we'll hear that in second canto. Pantheism. Pantheism is to see God in nature or to see God in the world. Shivendevan, yes? Oh, as the dictionary says. God is, everything is God and God is everything. Yeah, so they see God everywhere, in the tree, in the sky, and the ground, and everything. God is everything, and everything is God. That's right. Very good. Nishinanda. Purport to the imaginary, okay? Text 30. Yeah, he says it right there in the purport. I read it. Right. Both is, yes, it's imaginary. The outward form is imaginary, both for living entity and for the Vishnu. Yeah. Like a dream. Okay. No substance. Right. There's no substance. Yeah, it's not the substance of reality. Bhagavatam, we're trying to distinguish reality from illusion, substance from non-substance. That's a good answer. Madhavendra Puri. 11th chapter of Gita. Yes, Viratrupa emanates from eternal nature. Of course, everything emanates from the eternal nature. No, the material energy emanates from the eternal nature. Yes. It's all one. Salvam kavidam brahma. Yes. Okay, let's hear Brihat Madanga, Prabhu. Substance and shadow. Right, devotee is in substance. For the conditioned soul, the shadow is manifest. Okay? Okay, you see the shadow, if you put your hand in the light, then the shadow is manifest. If you put your hand directly on the shadow, you won't see the shadow. Okay? Okay? Okay, the shadow form of the Lord. Right. Arjuna wasn't interested. He never sees. Yeah, well, Prabhupada said that. I didn't see it. Yeah. Yeah, not for the devotees, of course. Yeah. It's for the atheists. Yeah. Prakat and uprakat. Right. Okay, very good. Sankirtan. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. He quotes it many times. Yeah, I remember that. Yes. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. I don't know, what did he say? Okay.
There's variety.
Okay. Okay, last question. Brahman has many meanings. That's true. Even in Bhagavad Gita. On Dharma. Someone could research into the meanings of Brahman. Even in Bhagavad Gita, I think there's three meanings. Madhavendra Puri will research. So find out if there's any more meanings of Brahman. Search Bhagavatam. Yes? Gita and Bhagavatam. Because Gita we already know. We already took Bhakti Shastri. Divyambar. Which verse? 35. Oh. Okay. Okay, we should always meditate on the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman in the most convenient and palatable form. This is the last sentence of the purport, verse 35. Yes. I had it in my notes, but I forgot it. 35, verse 35, the last sentence. Meditations on Brahman in the most palatable form, activities of the Lord. Prem Nidhi. Jina Kangshati. According to the qualities of Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nashochati, Nakangshati. Yes?
Is it related with this?
Could be.
Because.
Okay. No, it said the activities of the Lord. Activities of the Lord. And they don't like the activities of the Lord. They say it's Maya. They say it's Maya. Okay. So we'll stop here today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow we will welcome Brijam Prabhu to continue the lectures. Yes? Shivendam? Okay, after. No. No, I wasn't. He's doing 2, 3, 4. You got the schedule. That's Burjan's schedule. The schedule you got today of verses, this is for Burjan Prabhu. And I'm going to do 5 and 6. And he'll do 7 and 8. So he'll be doing most of the teaching. I convinced him to do the second canto of the creation. And the Vishwarupa. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.